something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mari here and my old pal Lorraine Keane is in studio. Morning, Lorraine.
Morning.
How are you doing? It's been a while.
It has been a while, but it's great to be here and thanks for having me in. This is lovely.
Absolutely, no problem. I was only saying to you there off air about a year ago, I think was the last time we met and you were doing a red carpet. And I wasn't able to speak. For some reason, my brain went completely blank. And I don't even know what I asked you.
Trina,
and you
were I can't remember that.
You were looking at me as if going, is this one having a stroke or something?
But you see, whether anybody speaks or not, as you can see, I'll speak anyway. So it doesn't really stop me. Do you know what I mean?
And I couldn't use any of it because none of my questions made any sense. But look, take two today. So I want to talk to you today about your new podcast, which is very interesting for women and women of our age as well.
Yes.
So tell me all about it, Lorraine.
Well, it's a podcast on hormone health because... unfortunately, as I found out myself years after, most of us know virtually nothing, if anything at all, about our hormones and how important they are. For a woman in particular, they practically run our bodies. And if I'd known, you know, in my teens, Trina, never mind my 20s and 30s, what I know now, I wouldn't have had to have the kind of ups and downs that I would have had and the little struggles from time to time and the little bumps in the road because I would have realised it was just a hormone imbalance problem and I could have got it fixed. So because of that and because I've got two girls of my own, I decided to firstly work with Clean Marine, who are a natural Irish health supplement. This was not an opportunity for big plug, by the way. I'm only mentioning them because they completely worked for me and they are natural and Irish. And I decided then, I'm in my third year, I think, talking about hormone health and perimenopause and menopause. I decided to do a podcast and talk to other women in our business that are well known for being very honest and open, mm-hmm. and ask them about their hormone health and what they know or don't know and, you know, where they're at in life. And those two women I chose were Aisling O'Loughlin and Maya Dunphy.
Yeah.
And they're just two amazing women. And,
well, you
and
know
it was great
what?
Fun.
I absolutely adore Aisling O'Loughlin. Oh, she's one of the best people ever. She's so kind to everybody.
Yeah.
But so honest as well. And even in the article that she wrote about expose ending, which we'll talk about in a while, it was so funny, you know, because she really just says it how it is.
She completely does. And what you see is what you get with her. And I love that. Because, you know, I think at this stage of our lives, at all stages of our lives, you know, honesty is the best policy. And mm-hmm. I think that's why, even with this hormone health tour that I'm doing, because I'm going around the country with the top endocrinologist in the country, a nutritionist, a person, you know, speaking on kind of exercise, fitness and well-being. And we've got a lovely panel and we're going around and we're just saying it as it is. And it takes a lot to embarrass me. I'm one of seven. Do you know what I mean? So I've got to the stage now where it's just like, you know, talk, share, support. Because the more you talk about it, the less of a taboo perimenopause, menopause and hormones will be. And then we'll actually end up helping each other, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. So you feel like you're not the only one experiencing these things.
Yes.
So this word has come up in the office actually very recently, perimenopause. Mm-hmm. At what age does that kind of kick in?
Okay, so there are five stages of your hormone health, your hormone life. So there's a great little book actually called The Essential Guide to Female Hormones and it's available free in health stores and it's also available to download online at cleanmarine.ie/hormones. And it's the first time it's ever been done in this country. And it costs a lot of money to put together and a lot of time and research and it's an absolute brilliant little Bible for teenagers all the way through your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, post-menopause, so into your 60s. So your five stages of your hormones. And it just gives us all the tips and advice that we need to live our best life, you know. And I think for anybody, you know, if you've got daughters, you know, sisters, mum, anything, pick up a copy of this book because it you know, it'll just make you realise, like as you said, where people, you know, felt like they were on their own and they were the only ones that were maybe, you know, going a bit mad or feeling a bit down when you shouldn't be feeling down or you know, not sleeping, not having energy, all sorts of symptoms that I would have had. This book just helps you to choose one of the many options that are out there to actually, you know, not suffer and get through it. Because as we know, Trina, it's bloody tough being a girl.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And perimenopause is something that would for me probably started in my mid-30s. I would have liked to have had more children. And I had my second baby at 35 and thought maybe I'd have at least one, if not two more, before I was 40, and then couldn't have any. And it was one of these kind of, you know, infertility, but they can't say why because you're not
the unexplained one.
That one, mm-hmm. You know, you're not. I know everything's fine, and Peter's fine,
and you've had two children already.
Exactly. So, and I was fit and felt I was healthy and all that stuff. But actually, it was my hormones, and so I went through, you know, a number of years of IVF, which was really tough. Anybody that's gone through it, God love them, because it takes its toll on your body and on your mental health and everything. Also on your bank balance, you know, it's just not a nice thing to have to go through. If I'd known that actually all I'd do was sort out, you know, my hormones, tweak my thyroid, and I'd have a better chance, then, you know, myself and Peter wouldn't have had to go through that. Mm-hmm. But we did. And listen, I'm not complaining. I have two healthy babies and I have lots of friends that are having difficulty having one. So I'm definitely not complaining. And I suppose that's why I didn't talk about it for so long, because I didn't want to, you know, make people who were, you know, struggling to have one to kind of go, there she is with her two and she's whinging and moaning. I'm not saying that at all.
Do you regret trying, though?
No, definitely not.
You wanted to see whether you could or not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now I know it was kind of pointless because of the way my hormones were and my thyroid was. If I just found an endocrinologist, Dr. Mary Ryan is the woman that's working with me on the tour that I'm doing, the hormone health tour for Clean Marine. And she's just incredible. You know, we all need, as women, okay, obviously we need a GP and children need a paediatrician, but as women, we need an endocrinologist, and I didn't even know how to pronounce that
word. I don't even
know
what that is.
Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. The first time I met her, I was on a panel with her at a hormone health talk, and it was organised by My Second Spring, which is another great website, actually, for anybody that's in perimenopause or menopause. A lovely woman called Aisling, an Irish woman, put it together. So I was asked to talk at this about my own experience, and Dr. Mary Ryan was there. And when I was talking, I had to write the word endocrinologist phonetically. Like, that is so embarrassing. Yeah. I call myself a journalist. I say I read everything. And yet, anytime I saw anything in an article or online that had anything to do with menopause, peri or otherwise, I skipped through because I didn't think that it was relevant to me.
I get you, yeah. And it's funny, isn't it, Lorraine? Because in America, women over there have a specialist in every area of their life, don't they?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I think we're getting better, certainly, as Irish people. You know, we've been so good facing a lot of issues and problems in this country and kind of wakening up to the real world. You know, everything from talking about mental health to, you know, homosexuality, all of that. So we have come a long way in the last 10 years. And I think this is another thing now that we're just going to need to have to get up and start talking about and sharing. And that's what's happening. I know it's happening. I mean, I even see it. It's funny, like, I started talking about menopause 3 years ago. And now in the UK, you have Patsy Kensett. She has her own Instagram now called Conscious Puberty Patsy Kensett. Meg Matthews was over recently, so she's doing a tour of the UK and now obviously of Ireland talking about it. And that's only in the last 6 months. So we were way ahead of the curve,
girl. There you go. Yeah. There must be a sense of kind of sadness when you think of your baby making days are coming to an end.
Yes.
And that kind of starts to kick in at the perimenopausal stage. It's very sad, isn't it, as well, for women?
It doesn't need to be. That's the thing. I mean, they're like,
whether you want to have another child or not, though, it's the finality of it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely. That part. Yes. And for me, it was 35, you know, between kind of 35, 38. So perimenopause usually happens about 10 years before menopause. But as I say, when your fertility starts to drop, which is after the age of 35, as we're told, that's when, you know, your hormones change. And that's when, really, if you haven't already done it, you need to see an endocrinologist and get your bloods done just to see where you're at. There's no point in getting a GP to do your bloods, Trina, because, you know, they'll do one set of bloods at a certain time, and you actually need to know about your entire cycle, the entire month.
Yeah.
So if you go and get your bloods done once with a GP, they'll probably say to you, no, you're fine. And then you'll feel like you're completely feckin' crackers because you haven't felt fine, you know, and you've been whinging and crying and maybe, you know, up and down and whatever, and not sleeping and irritable and no libido and all this stuff. So an endocrinologist is really important for that. But to get back to your point of, yes, the finality of not being able to have any more children, I found it really, really tough. And it was at a time when all my little sisters were having their babies. So I was so thrilled for them and trying not to feel sorry for me. As I say, I have two healthy babies, but I'm from a big family of seven. I would have loved to have had a lot of children, you know, certainly, you know, four.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
maybe more. But as I say, I feel like I'm whinging and moaning now, and I don't mean to. I think it's really important to talk about it so that other women know what to do and they don't waste time, money and, you know, the toll that it takes on your body physically.
Mm-hmm. But as well as that, you left your job, didn't you, to focus on having a third baby. Had you known, would you have left?
Oh, I know. You know, of course I would. That was the point, you see, because I had tried IVF once while I was working full time in TV3, and I had Romy and she was 2 or 3 months old when I had to go back to work because I was offered Exposé. So, and that was a show of dreams for me. I'd been asking for it. I was entertainment correspondent for 9 years in TV3 at that stage. So finally got Exposé, got the call to say it was going to go to air in May of that year or the March of that year. So I had to come back into work in February. She was born in October. So I had about 3 months maternity leave with a 3-year-old at home as well. So went in, did the show, did the first year and then decided, OK, it had taken me a little while to get pregnant on Romy anyway. That's why it's a 3-year age gap. And I went on Clomid, which is the fertility drug, and finally conceived Romy. That was great. So was conscious of the fact that it might be tricky again. So started trying, didn't happen, decided to go for IVF. And then it didn't work. And at that stage, my babies were 2 and 5. And I thought to myself, OK, if I continue working the way I'm working, the IVF clinic said to me, you know, you're not giving yourself the best chance because I was working 6 days a week. And they said, you're stressed out, you're tired. You know, in order for this to work, you really need to pull back. So that was a choice I made. And myself and Peter spoke about it at the time. And I said, you know what, I'll give it another go. And, you know, I'll park the career for now, take a break. And then, God forbid, if it doesn't happen second time round, at least I'll now have more time with the two babies that I do have. Mm-hmm. And at least I'll enjoy them. So it was a win-win as far as, like, I couldn't lose as far as I was concerned. Because, you know, if the worst case scenario for me was that the IVF didn't work for the second time, at least I'd have taken that break, jumped off, and, you know, had time to enjoy the two babies.
You start to realise, I think, don't you, when like that, when you become a mom, the importance of your children and your family and showbiz becomes so less important.
Oh, completely, you know.
Like, I don't care.
No.
If somebody got a new dress.
Thank God.
I don't care.
No, and like I remember going out to work one morning and I'd said goodbye to Romy. Amelia was in school, she was 3. And she was in school and I said goodbye to Romy and Romy was very, you know, very upset when, actually no, so Romy would have been say 2 and Romy and Amelia would have been 5. That's why she was in school. I was trying to work that one out. So I said goodbye to her. She was very upset. She was the type of child that would get upset. Amelia's much more laid back and I don't think she kind of noticed because we had a childminder who they absolutely loved. Alma was like their second mum and is still like their second mum. She's a massive part of our family. So Amelia was in school. I was saying goodbye to Romy and she started to cry. And Alma distracted her by saying, let's go over to the park with the dog. So off they went to the park with the dog. And I went into my walk-in wardrobe that people might have seen in magazines or whatever that I absolutely love. It's, you know, it's a fun place to hang out, even for the girls.
I'm not jealous of that one at all, Lorraine, I swear.
I worked very hard to get that. There was a long time coming, Trina, I promise. And I'm standing in my lovely wardrobe, looking at all my lovely things, looking out the window and seeing my tiny little baby, who's just the cutest thing that never stops talking, still to this day. She's 2, she's looking up at Alma and her little head's bobbing along. So I know she's having the chats with Alma because she's stopped crying and she's happy out now and she's walking across and Alma's holding her hand looking down talking to her and I actually started to cry and I stood in my walk-in wardrobe going, what the hell are you doing? Do you know what I mean? What's it all for? At the end of the day, like, all I wanted to do was go to the park with my baby and collect my other baby after school, you know. So so that's, yeah, that was when it just came to, okay, it's decision time.
Yeah.
And I have 110% never regret it.
Yeah.
Now it was it's sad that I had to park my career, but that's what I say. It's tough being a girl. You know, sometimes it's a woman that has to make those choices, and I did, and yeah, I've had the most amazing 10 years with my girls. And I don't regret it for a second.
It has gone so fast as well, because we all remember seeing all the magazine photographs and they were babies. And now they are proper
13 and 16.
Proper teenagers.
I'm two teenagers. Whoa. Now I want to go back to full time work.
Lorraine, will you hang on there a second? Because I want to go for a song and come back to you to chat a bit more. Lorraine Keane in studio. It's Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits. Something for the Weekend. Good morning. It's Trina Mara, and in studio we have got Lorraine Keane. Morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. Still here.
We were talking all about the walk-in wardrobe there. Do you know, we're about to move house and I have one of these floor-to-ceiling units for my shoes, and I think I'm going to have to leave it behind.
Oh, no.
I have no space for it in the new house. What am I going to do?
Get another one.
Speaking of moving house, have you moved yet or what?
No. Our house has been up for sale for the last few months, since just before the summer, actually. Or actually maybe July. And yeah, it's just too big for us. Absolutely love it, Trina. Love it, love it. We bought it in 8 flats. It is my 5th renovation. So while I was working full time.
Oh, you were coming to my house.
Oh, no, I love it. It's actually a passion of mine. Yeah. I bought my first house when I was 20, would you believe, when I was on a road watch, a tiny little cottage. And yeah, so as I've been working, you know, full time, that was kind of a hobby of mine in the background. But we've been in this house now for, you know, 15 years. So this is the longest house I've ever been in. And the girls were born there, so I'd be a bit more attached to this one. And we just love where it is, the location and everything. But it's just too big. It's 4 floors. And as I spoke to you earlier, I thought I'd fill it with the kids.
Yeah.
I've 2.
You probably only use 1 floor, do you? Or
well,
one
we
or
live
2.
On 2. We really do live on 2. So it's just, I'm kind of getting sense as I get older at last. Peter's been saying to me for years, you know, we really should have a smaller place. But yeah, it kind of feels like, it feels like maybe it's the right time now. To be honest with you, I saw 2 very similar houses in the area that are smaller and they're doer uppers. So I would love to do that again.
And you love doing that. Most people hate the idea of a renovation, the stress of it all.
I think, you know, it's almost down to the whole kind of fashion and style thing again. Maybe it just overflows into surroundings, do you know what I mean? Into rooms. And I don't find it stressful. I find it fun. So, and I've started up this new venture actually called Finish.ie with a friend of mine. And it's an online marketplace, like a directory for all things renovation, building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a great place for people to go if they're, you know, thinking of building or renovating or refurbishing, or if they're first time buyers, and it's free. Or it's also a good place for suppliers to be involved in, because you can even search in your area geographically. So for all of us that are time poor now, whether you're a first time buyer or a busy working mum of 2, as I am myself, a lot of people don't want to have to go out and put in the mileage going from industrial estate or showroom to industrial estate or showroom.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, having to pick out things, it's a long process, and I've been through it so many times myself. So it's to try and take that kind of headache and time out of it for people and give them lots of choice. But you can search geographically in your area as well, which is really good.
I could have done with you yesterday morning, Lorraine. We ordered a bed that won't fit up the stairs.
Oh, geez.
So
I don't believe it.
So such a small problem, you know, and you're talking about big renovations, renovating an 8-flat unit into the house.
Oh,
so that must have been an absolutely massive renovation, was it?
It was. We bought the house in 8 flats. And in fact, actually, Trina, it was probably the easiest renovation I've done out of all of them, because the house is a Georgian house, so it just needs to be brought back to that. So it already had its bone structure. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Is the way I describe it. So it was, as I say, just bringing it back to its former glory. Whereas the places I did before, there was a lot more work and imagination needed, you know.
Yeah, were there disasters along the way, things that you discovered?
Plenty,
you see that all on the property shows, don't you?
Yeah, and I'd love to you know, document if and when I do, if we sell the house that we're in now and buy a doer-upper, I'd love to do something.
Do it, Jeremy Bannon.
Yeah, well, we have on finish.ie, on our website, we have Finish TV. So I'm going into, you know, show houses and showrooms and into suppliers and filming what they're what they do and what they're selling, just to make it easier for people to make choices as well. So so yeah, watch this space.
We never know what the next. Do you really have a white sofa, Lorraine?
I do, but it's got removable, washable covers.
I was going to ask, how on earth, especially with dogs and everything?
I know, and our dogs, my two dogs, think they're humans, you know. I lent them to somebody when I went away a little while ago, and she has dogs herself, my friend, and she absolutely loves dogs. She's a dog lover like me, but she treated them like dogs, and they actually were in shock for about a week afterwards. It was so funny. It was like, did you not tell her? I don't know, what was she thinking, putting us in the garden for the whole day? We're usually on the cream sofa. Yeah, no, you can take the covers off, put them in the wash, even at 60 degrees. So I think, see, that's the stuff that people don't realise you can do. You know what I mean? Those kind
of. I wouldn't dream of getting a cream sofa.
Well, if you could wash the covers at 60 degrees. Not at all. Easy peasy.
Do you need to wait to sell before you can go elsewhere?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll wait. And if we don't sell, we'll kind of, I think we'll probably leave it now till springtime. Yeah. You know, the market's really uncertain with Brexit and with everything going on. So I'm going to wait till springtime, because the talk, we've a couple of friends who are economists, and all the talk is that there's going to be a jump. It's going to go upwards in February, which is great. And we're in no rush, as I say. We love where we are. It's just too big. So,
but the worst thing would be to find somewhere else that you love and then to miss out on it because you haven't sold your own.
Because I found a couple of places that I love in the area. I know. But listen, what's for you won't pass you. I'm a firm believer of that. And you know, it's always worked out. And as I said to Peter, so long as we're together and we're healthy and happy, you know, that is the main thing. You know, it's another thing, one of the other, you know, few things that's good about getting older is you don't sweat the small stuff anymore.
Have you had any nosy viewers who are just going to have a look
Thank
around
God
Lorraine King's house?
Think so. Well, they would have seen it on that charity home of the year thing that we did a couple of years ago anyway. They would have had a nose if they wanted. I love those kind of programmes myself. No, it's private private viewings. So I think we've been.
So if I go to have a look, I need to wear a pair of shades.
Yeah, exactly.
So come here to me. We're talking about the podcast that you're doing. It's the Clean Marine Hormone Health Podcast. And your old pal from Expose, Aisling O'Loughlin, is doing it with you as well. And she moved to France, didn't she?
She did, yes. And France is one of our favourite places. My two girls actually went to the French school for primary school. So they're actually fluent French speakers, which is a lovely thing for them to have. I'm sure they'll thank me in later life. Yeah, Aisling is, I see her every time she's home, and I've seen her in France. She's just one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And she decided to take time out with her three boys because, again, like me, I think her youngest at the time was one, actually.
And she had them one after the other.
Yeah. So now she has three under, well, I think they're almost the eldest boys. Patrick is almost eight, but yeah, she's got her hands full and she's enjoying it and enjoying the French lifestyle. Why wouldn't you?
I know, fabulous. Well, she wrote a really, really funny article for Evoke.ie. This was when Expose announced that they were finishing up the show after, I think it was 12 years actually. And I just want to read you a line from it. She said, sometimes I get a pang of guilt for my part, however small, in encouraging Irish women to buy shit or die, essentially, for cheerleading fast fashion and its airhead accessories of mindless consumerism and fakery. Now, she talks about how, you know, if you've seen one contour, you've seen the other. It was a really, really funny article, quite honest. But it was of the time, wasn't it, when Expose was on?
Yes.
It was the Celtic Tiger. Everybody had money to spend.
Yes.
And everyone was interested in going out and buying clothes.
Well, I was entertainment correspondent for 9 years for TV3, before that on my own. And I had to do a lot of travelling, you know, for that. But, you know, I'd go out on the red eye in the morning and I'd be back and hosting like my part of the news, which was the last section, the entertainment news at the end. So there was no overnights, you know. So even when I had Amelia, when I was entertainment correspondent, it was more or less a 9 to 5. It was 10 to 6. And then I didn't work evenings and I didn't work weekends. But there was a massive appetite for entertainment. And because, as you say, it was the Celtic Tiger, all the celebrities were coming here. So, you know,
it was golf days, left, right and centre.
Unbelievable, yeah. So, I mean, Expose definitely came at the right time. And I still think there's a place for it. You know, I'm very sad that it's not around anymore. And I still watch things on telly and kind of on YouTube now, more so, and probably online, which is, again, probably a sign of the times too. But I'd still watch somebody doing a smoky eye, you know. I'm sorry, but like, I just, you know, I'm
You must be an expert though at this point.
At this point, I could do my makeup from start to finish in 15 minutes. In fact, lots of women on my own Instagram have asked me to do some IGTV, just showing them what products I use and how I can do it in 15 minutes. And it's the truth, I really can. It, practice makes perfect, but as perfect as I can get it anyway. But yeah, I think sustainable and ethical fashion is a massive thing nowadays. So the whole fast fashion thing doesn't work for me. And that's why I started up Fashion Relief for Oxfam Ireland. I chose Oxfam to be the charity to work with me on it because of their, you know, tie in with fashion, their retail shops and whatever else. So last year, Fashion Relief, which is a pre-loved designer sale in the RDS, raised €70,000 in a day. Every cent of the 70,000 went.
68,000 from Lorraine Keane's personal collection.
I actually donated a massive chunk of my own wardrobe. That's how I came up with the idea, Trina, because I go away to the developing world every year, as you know, as a volunteer for different charities. And I go over there and I report on the fabulous work that they're doing. And I choose different charities for that reason, because they're all doing amazing work and I like to spread the love. And I'm free, so I go over and I do what I can to help their fundraising efforts. And it does help when I come back, because I can talk about it and people like you give me airtime, which is hugely important for them. So I decided after my trip 3 years ago, again, looking at my wardrobe, because of all the lovely free things that I'm given, or I can buy things, you know, at discount or whatever, just and things that I've collected over the years. And I was holding on to them for my daughters and then thinking, firstly, they may not want mammy's like hand-me-downs. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like vintage, whatever. So you're holding them for no reason. And secondly, they can go out and buy their own and earn their own. And if they know that I gave all the stuff away that's in the photographs, like I look at photographs of my mom now and I go, why didn't you keep that? Why didn't you keep that? If they say that to me, I'll say, because it fed a family for a week, or it got a woman, you know, who was on her own with loads of children, independent, and, you know, gave her a job so she was able to run her own farm, et cetera, et cetera. All those stories that they hear me telling the whole time. So I came back, saw my wardrobe, went, screw this, got to do something, have way too much stuff, and some of us have way too little, and some have none at all. Yeah. So I started making kind of inquiries with friends, and everybody that I know, well-known or otherwise, said, I want to donate, I want to donate. So people were donating their own pre-loved items. Then I started contacting the boutiques that have worked with me over the years. They started giving me all of their, you know, kind of unwanted sale items. Wholesalers, the exact same. The designers, you know, Deborah Veal, Umid Kutluck, all of these designers, Helen McAlinden, Paul Costello gave me his entire London Fashion Week catwalk collection. Wow. So I realised, Jesus Christ, I've got a serious amount of contacts here. So through the net, far and wide, and year two, we're not even at the end of year two yet, Trina, and we've already raised 175,000.
Yeah, you see, when you do something like so it's win-win really, isn't it?
It is, it is.
Do you have thoughts now, when you see that and you see the poverty that people are living in when you go abroad to these countries, does it make you kind of think twice about when you're going to buy a dress or something and the price tag is a little bit
high? Absolutely. And it's just a shame that so many people that don't get to make those trips that I've made every year for the last 10 years don't get to see it firsthand, because we're only human. We are numbed to the images on telly or online or in the papers or in magazines. But when you're there with the families, you know, and you're seeing the mom that loves her babies just as much as I love my babies and you love your baby, and they don't know if they're going to be able to feed that baby tomorrow. Mm. And they're starving. I mean, it's horrific what is going on in some parts of the world at the moment. And as I say, in other parts of the world like us, you know, we have way too much. Mm-hmm. So I've got my last fundraiser actually on the 19th of December for Fashion Relief, and it's an afternoon tea and it's in the Intercontinental, and we're almost sold out, which is lovely. And again, everything, like all the fundraisers that I do and in the RDS, we went to Galway this year as well and Cork, and you know, people like Octavo and Ion Solutions, people that I didn't have contacts in the business, so people that provide stages, cater hire, provide tables and rails, Ion Solutions provide catwalks and AV and all of that stuff, they all gave to me for free just because they trust me. You know, because they know that I've no ulterior motive. They know that I'll go out, I'll report. I went to Ethiopia and Somalia last year. I'm going to Bangladesh, please God, in 2 weeks, and to the refugee camps there, and also to see some of the factories where, you know, all of this fast fashion is being made, mm-hmm. to link the whole thing. Fashion is one, as we know, is one of the biggest culprits when it comes to our climate and the environment and the trouble that we're in. And so it's to link poverty with that. And, you know, all the women that work in those factories are women and girls, yeah. you know, and they've been paid 32 cent a day. You know, if they were just paid even a euro a day, even twice that a day, they wouldn't be living in poverty.
How do the people react when they see Irish people coming in, having a look? Do they think, you know, what's going on here? They see crews.
No, they're very grateful, which is
they know it's
oh my
it's
God,
helping
it's so
them.
Humbling. Yeah, they just keep thanking you, and they keep smiling, and they're just so happy.
And because, they have nothing.
Well, you see, Oxfam are working with them anyway, so they know these are good people. Without them, they'd be dead, you know, and that's horrible, but it's as simple as that. So we arrive in as, you know, I wear my Oxfam or Fashion Relief t-shirt, and so they know that I'm with those people that have helped them. And like, Oxfam will go in for a couple of years. They won't be there forever. They'll go in for a couple of years. As I say, they'll give them opportunities so that they can fend for themselves and fend for their families. And like, you give, you know, a woman a job. And it's like, it gives them independence. They're, you know, they're financially independent. It's empowering, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what it's all about, empowering women. And it's the same thing to link it all the way back to women here in Ireland, you know, to know about our health and our hormone health in particular, and to stand up and go, no, hang on a second, it's not good enough. I need to live my best life mm-hmm. because a lot of people need me. Yeah. And I deserve it. That's empowering too.
When you think how grateful they are to have a job where they're paid 32 cent a day, yeah. and some people in Ireland who won't get up off their backside,
yeah.
and go out and get, and they're well capable,
yeah.
of getting a job,
yeah, yeah, and that's just the way the world is, and it's unfair. And you know, one person can make a difference. If everybody thinks so, you know, one person can't. What's the point? Then you know. There wouldn't be the amount, the you know, the millions of lives that are saved. And that when I go over now, please God, in a couple of weeks to Bangladesh, and I'm filming over there, I'll show the positive side of it. Do you know what I mean? And that's what's great. So I'll visit the places that Oxfam are just about to start working in because of the money that we've raised with Fashion Relief. So it's all the places where I know the Fashion Relief money is going. And we'll see, you know, just it's, that they're the really, really, really tough parts. And then we'll see the places where Oxfam have been working for a year or two. And that's when you realise that actually it is worth it.
Well, Lorraine, we'll let you go home to your babies who are no longer babies, teenagers.
Know,
now,
yes.
do they have any interest in going into the type of career that yourself and your husband are in? The business,
oh,
as they say.
Oh, so funny, Trina. Like every other day, Romy comes home from school, my 13-year-old, and she says, Mom, it's so embarrassing. So many people are saying to me that they're seeing I see your mom at the side of a bus because there's posters on the bus at the moment. For
better than the back
health.
Of a bus.
Yeah. I've always said I'm like the back of a bus. That's what my mother says. She slags me. She goes, you always thought you were like the back of a bus. Now you're on the side of a bus. And I say to her, but Romy, like, are you not proud? Like, that's your mom. Like, that's your mom that's there. Like, there's a reason I'm there. And then her answer is, it says the word hormones beside your face. Which for any 13-year-old is devastating. So I'm like, okay,
it's great to have
fair
family
point.
Support all
yeah.
the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, listen, Lorraine, it's been great to have you in.
Thank you.
Don't leave us along the next time. Sure
I
you won't.
I won't. You're a dope. Thanks, Trina.
There is Lorraine Keane. It's Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.